I've talked about this before, and I don't mean to disappoint anyone, but I love poetry. Before we read Psalm 73, I want to read you a poem from one of my favorite poets from the 19th century, Christina Rossetti. She really had a way of understanding the centrality of Jesus Christ and the rich, amazing grace of the gospel and the presence of God in everyday life. It ends with this stanza that you see on the screen before you. I want to read to you the entirety of the poem because it introduces the 73rd Psalm for us this morning. It's called None Other Lamb. None other lamb, none other name, none other hope in heaven or earth or sea, none other hiding place from guilt and shame, none but thee. My faith burns low, my hope burns low. Only my heart's desire cries out in me by the deep thunder of its want and woe. It cries out to thee, Lord, thou art life, though I be dead. Love's fire, thou art, however cold I be. Nor heaven have I, nor place to lay my head, nor home, but thee. When it all comes down to it, we really have no one but God who has given himself to us in Jesus Christ for the living of life. And the verse I'm about to quote for us this morning, Psalm 73, 25 and 26, really is a touchstone for me. A touchstone is a foundation stone, something you can build your life on. Thankfully, I want you to know, and I mean it, thankfully, there was a period in my life when God stripped everything away from me other than himself. The specifics don't matter as much as the principle that I needed to learn and hadn't up to that point, that God is not only the center of life in Jesus Christ. In addition to that, when God is our chief desire in life, then everything works the way God intended it. And I say thankfully about God stripping everything else away from me, because even as a Christian, I had clung to so many other things and people and dreams to base my life on. The Lord knew something I didn't at the time, and I'm still learning it, but I'm a little farther down the road. The Lord knew that those were all false hopes, that they would eventually fail. They could not hold my life up. So God took everything away for a period of time, not permanently. God took away a girlfriend I thought was the one. Thank God. She wasn't. She's still a dear friend, by the way. But there was someone else that God had in mind for me named Laurel. God took away the specific dreams I had for a career of self-fulfillment. God took away a group of friends that I cherished and who all scattered along with me at the end of university days. And for a period of time, I was not able to be around my family as much as before. They just weren't available in the same way they had been before, and neither was I. I was in my early 20s, and I knew God had taken all of these away so that I might learn to trust and love him for himself alone rather than for what he could give me. And I knew it was going to be a hard lesson. In the midst of it all, I came across Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. And God used these verses, really, to change the direction of my life. And here they are. Whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, we pray that you would open up your word to us and us to your word by the power of your Spirit through Christ. Amen. Whom have I in heaven but you? That's a good question. The question is, where can we go for a solid foundation in life, either for this life or for eternity? And the only possible answer, and we know it, is nothing and no one but God. There is no one else in eternity other than God to whom any of us can look for what we long for and need. God is all there is that is permanent, good, beautiful, and true. Yet we all, myself included, have a tendency to look for someone, some place, or something that will deliver for us what only God can give. There is a name for this. You probably know it already. It's called idolatry. We place something out there in front of us that we hope will deliver for us, but as an idol, it will always disappoint. Always, capital A. Maybe not for a period of time, but eventually it will, he will, she will fail us if it isn't God. To whom do you look for what only God can give? Where do you seek what only God can give? In Christ, turn to God alone as the one you seek and long for, because we know that God will never fail, all else will. That's what I learned in the midst of some pretty dark days, to be honest with you. I had nothing and no one else to turn to for who I was and what I needed for each and every day, sometimes for each and every hour. And what I found actually surprised me. What I found is that God is more than enough, more than enough. This psalm takes us deeper into this whole tendency toward idolatry thing. It says next, and besides you, or compared to you, I desire nothing on earth. Augustine got it right over 1,600 years ago. He said that all of our idolatries, large and small, that lead us astray and cause so much disappointment in life, come from disordered desires or loves. And here's the way it works. What do you desire? It might be love, it might be peace, it might be security, or guidance, or acceptance, or power, or justice, or affluence. What you might love is your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your job, or life itself. None of these things, by the way, are bad or wrong in and of themselves. Love and acceptance are extremely important in life. It's not wrong to desire them. Who doesn't want a good job or a career that you enjoy? Or a grand retirement. Good friends are a great boon in life. Romantic love is awesome. Kids are great. The desire for or love of these things is not the problem. It's not what this psalm says. The problem is when we love and desire them more than we love or desire God. But, and this is important, when we love God more than all these, then our desires are properly ordered and everything falls into place the way God intended. This doesn't mean that we don't love these other things at all. It just means that we love God more. With God as our chief love, then, our greatest desire, then we can face life based upon a firm foundation, and we can even live life with great boldness of faith. The psalmist goes on and says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Flesh here means our bodies, just our physical being. That's what it means here. In the New Testament, the word flesh usually means our unredeemed human nature. But this is more simple in the psalm. It's about our bodies eventually failing. So let me just cover a few things that have been happening to me as I've been turning the corner from my 50s into my 60s. I am finding myself at that age when things that used to work don't as well. It's always surprising to us baby boomers when that happens. I've lost 50% of my hearing in one ear. What if I lose all of it? I've been wondering. Or what if I lose my eyesight the way my mother did from macular degeneration? Or what if I come down with heart disease or cancer? What if I get Alzheimer's? I'm at an age when you begin to ask those questions. I never used to think about that. It's getting closer. Now, here's what I'll tell you. If my body falls apart, I'm not going to like it very much. But here's what I know based upon this psalm. My flesh may fail. In fact, it probably will. But here's what I know. I know that God will give me what I need to face it, whatever it might be. How does God do this? I don't know. But I think this is where faith becomes very practical. I don't know how. I just know that God will give me what is needed at the time, and he will give you what is needed at the time. And then there's heart. This is where the passage shifts a little bit. This does not mean our physical hearts. This refers to the center of our being before God, where our conscience, our feelings, our spirit, our minds, our attitudes, our personality type, and our decisions or our will all intersect at the center to make us who we are. It's the controlling center of our life. What if my heart fails? That controlling center of my life that holds me up and moves me through life. What if things affect me so much that I just sort of cave in? I've been close to this a few times. Let me tell you, I think we all know it's no fun. What Psalm 73 is telling us, that God will be the strength of our heart and the portion of our physical lives forever. Therefore, we need not live in fear. We can face anything in the confidence that God will see us through. He will. In my life, God, over time, restored everything that he had graciously removed from me after I learned that God is more than enough. I'm still learning it, but there was a period when I needed to learn it big. It was after I figured out that God does not exist to serve me. I exist in order to serve God. God restored all of it and so much more. But in such a way that if it all were taken away again, I know that there is bedrock on which I stand. Christ, the rock of my salvation and yours. All of this reminded me this week of the beauty of one of our confessional standards, which is the first question of the Heidelberg Catechism. I want to read it for you. Just listen. It's the first question. It's the beginning of understanding what it means to walk in life as a follower of Jesus Christ. What is your only comfort in life and death? And here's the answer. That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to follow him. Let me just read Christina Rossetti once again. Lord, thou art life, though I be dead. Love's fire, thou art, however cold I be. Nor heaven have I, nor place to lay my head, nor home, but thee. This morning I want to leave you with the Heidelberg Catechism up on the screen. If we would go ahead and place that on the screen. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to read this together. Some of you may be at that stage of life where you can't see it. We'll be watching for you. Let's confess our faith together and then reflect on it for a few moments in quiet after we say what we believe together. I will ask the question. We will all answer it together. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Let's just close our eyes and meditate on that for just a moment. O Lord, whom have we in heaven but you? No one. And besides you, compared to you, we desire nothing on earth. Our flesh and our hearts may fail, but you are the strength of our hearts, and you are the portion of our life, for all of life, now and forever, through Jesus Christ. For all of this, we give you thanks and praise. In the name of Christ, amen.